But we do have some fun and games to play with you here this hour. Fred will be along at about 5:35 for a little discussion of the city council, which is always good for a laugh. We have the famous quote game. We got news. We got stuff. But more importantly, we have an opportunity to spend the next few minutes with a good friend of mine. He's been with us numerous times over the past 5 or 6 years. He's been cranking out great reading material like Attention Deficit Democracy, which goes along with his other great reading material like Lost Rights, Freedom in Chains, and other thought-provoking missives. And he's working on something right now, but he won't tell me what it is, so that's all right. Ladies and gentlemen, from just outside the Logic Free Zone, James Bovard. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
Always a hoot. There were two things that I came across that I want to talk to you about. Two pieces you had done. One, last week or so, in the American Conservative, Stasi for America, which was a nice little encapsulated history of our FBI. And not only does anybody who reads this get a great history lesson of where it came from, how it functioned, and it's rather sordid background. But something that we're seeing quite a bit of here lately, and that is organizations, specifically government organizations, agencies, and all the rest, doing things that are totally, thoroughly, unequivocally out of line, unconstitutional, contrary to the rule of law, and maybe even personal hygiene. And yet they go ahead and do them anyway until somebody stands up and says, pardon me, but could somebody open a window, such as you did on this piece, where the FBI had been instructing its new agents that the FBI has the ability to bend or suspend the law to impinge on the freedom of others. And once they got caught with their pants down, courtesy of Spencer Ackerman over at Wired, well, then they immediately pulled up the magic slate and said, oh, mistakes were made, and we're correcting everything. And I guess they sent out a memo to all of the agents who had been so taught that, well, you know, we really can't do this, the fact that it had been done.
Yeah, the thing about that, there was an update on that news story today. It turns out that the FBI has canceled its guidance to new agents, telling them that the FBI has the ability to bend the law to impinge on the freedom of others. What they're now telling them is the FBI's ability to twist the law to impinge on the freedom of others.
Oh, well, that's great. I mean, that sort of continuity there to Operation Twist from the Federal Reserve. It all blends together.
Well, it was fascinating. This is an essay, a party book review essay, partly my own riffs on a new book by Tim Weiner on Cold Enemies, History of the FBI. It was fascinating to see that the FBI has been so consistent in rising above the law for 100 years, and it really hasn't mattered what the Supreme Court has said, what presidents have said. The FBI has gone its own way. It's simply lied about breaking the law until it gets caught, and then it says, we won't do it anymore. And then as soon as people's attention wanders, they start doing it again.
Well, what about that? I mean, is that just something we tolerate because just between us girls, we really need some sort of a quasi-roguey kind of sort of law enforcement agency operating within the confines of the federal government just to make sure that the bad guys don't get out of control?
Well, I mean, it depends on what your idea of a free society is. If you think that the government needs to be able to trample people's rights and punish them and taser them at will and stuff like that for their own good with no questions asked or answered, yeah, maybe so. But if you have a notion that the government is supposed to be kept on a leash, which was the Founding Fathers' idea, which is the whole idea behind the Bill of Rights, then having this very powerful federal agency that can do as it pleases, well, that's a paradox.
Maybe four or five docs. I'm wondering about the there was a video that Claire Wolf has up on her website. I know you know Claire about the where one of her followers, readers, whatever, videotaped I guess that's an archaic term. She got a video of two two FBI agents that had come to her house to ask her what she knew about possible violence and damage that was being planned, because this homeowner, a mother of five and a nurse, had been seen at a demonstration for Palestine, Palestinian rights and all the rest of that. And the FBI had gotten a tip. Naturally, it was anonymous and they couldn't say from whom. And what did she know? And she, I mean, she did a masterful job at preserving her, you know, her Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights and so on in the face of that. But you would think that the FBI, let me, a quick sidebar, is it your understanding, is my understanding correct that that every FBI agent is either qualified to be or actually has passed the bar?
I don't think so, but I might be mistaken on that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever. The even so, you would expect the Federal Bureau of Investigation to be intimately familiar with those things that are designed to protect the rights of citizens. Yeah, I know. It's all right. Never mind. I was just testing this material out for Saturday Night Live.
I'm just wondering where you're going with this. This is a real leap of fancy here today, fantasy, and it's like, I'm dying to hear the conclusion.
Well, I mean, my job is to present to you, the authority, the fantasies that are generally housed in the form of urban myths or fairy tales, that most Americans have, that these G-men, these FBI agents, the guys from the CIA there, you know, they're all about us and preserving the American way of life and blah, 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 blah. And then you come along, Mr. Bovard, and you start scribbling this stuff that blows the whole scene. I mean, I'm doing this for your own protection.
All right. Well, as I say in the article, there are some FBI agents that do an excellent job, that have shown good judgment and courage and respect the law, and have done things that made people safer or gotten rid of real threats. What's happened now, we've got like 4,000 different federal laws. The FBI can choose which ones it wants to pursue and enforce. And that's an awful lot of arbitrary power, and as always happens throughout history, when you have all that arbitrary power, it gets abused. And Congress has very rarely shown an interest in putting a leash on the FBI or knowing exactly what it's doing. There has been a long history, wink, wink, nod, nod. I think back to the Waco hearings in the summer of 1995. I was hanging out in Capitol Hill following those hearings, and it was fascinating how few congressmen showed any courage as far as questioning the FBI, even when the FBI stories were collapsing one after another.
Yeah, I think what was that guy's name from Indiana, the only one who seemed to have an interest in that?
Not Mark Studer?
No, I can't remember his name. No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Like you say, it's 1995. But that's always been the case. Let's before we're out of time, let's move over to a more recent work that came out the other day in the Washington Times, the business about the disability hiring quota that the Labor Department is coming out. You know, I've talked about this before on the air. This regulation, the law of unintended consequences. I don't know how unintended they are out of this administration, yet still more red tape. That's what we need. We need more regulation, more red tape to see to it that recovery does not take place in the private sector.
Yeah, well, this is a very heavy-handed approach. Most of America's largest businesses have government contracts, and the federal government has a long history of exploiting its power over the contractors to dictate racial and gender hiring quotas. And what they're now doing is expanding that to impose a hiring quota for the disabled. And it's the Obama Labor Department is probably going to set that at 7%. And it's going to be not just per company, but per job category. And it's going to be one of the biggest wrenches the government has thrown into the economy in this century.
When will that? When is that supposed to take place? I mean, when is the new regulation supposed to go into effect? And is it retroactive?
It's not retroactive, but it has not yet been announced. But the Labor Department closed the comment period on that in late January or February. So it's percolating, and I've been surprised that businesses and others have not not raised far more cane about this, because this is a federal agency that specializes going in, doing audits and finding trouble, and then insisting that companies pay millions of dollars people that never work there as some type of compensation. But it doesn't, they've really not cared much about the facts. They've cared a lot more about their bragging rights. Something which this agency is doing is penalizing businesses for trying to hire more talented or more intelligent workers than the federal government thinks they need.
Well, isn't that becoming, if it hasn't already, a kind of a game that goes on inside the logic free zone? It's not a matter of protecting rights or having any concern whatsoever for taxpayers and citizens. It's more of an us versus them arrangement with the them holding the rule books and the red tape and the bureaucracy, and the us just trying to make a living.
Well, I mean, it's the rulers and the ruled, and in this case, mm-hmm. it's the Labor Department, and a lot of their inspectors love the power and the fear that they induce when they show up on a business's doorstep and say, well, let me look at your books. Well, nope, don't like this, boom. And the hammer falls, and the business is facing being disbarred from government contracts, which could be a $100 million loss. So they say, okay, we'll write a check for $3 million. Okay, go away. So.
Yeah, well, that's one way to cut down the deficit. You know, it would be a great idea, though. What if we just take a page from the history of Spartacus? What if everybody in the company declared? I mean, we're all imperfect, Jim, and fall short of the glory of God. Why don't we all just declare ourselves imperfect and disabled, and that'll take care of the quota problem?
Well, yeah, the thing I've been waiting for is to hear is when baldness gets classified as a disability.
Well, I don't think we've got the time or
that's not going to do. That's not going to do you any good since you've got the best head of hair in radio.
Well, yeah, and see what it's doing for me. This
well,
is great.
You know, you're in Ohio.
Well, there is that. Well, Jim, thanks again for more excellent works. We look forward to whatever's coming up next, and which will give us an opportunity to yap here on the radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Keep up the hell raising.
Always a hoot. I appreciate your help. Jim Bovard and Attention Deficit Democracy, if you haven't read it yet.